Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Florence Katz. Our respondent is Ann Brown Littman. This is October 22, 1982. We're sitting in the dining area of Ann Littman's lovely bungalow. It's an L-shaped living room and dining room, and we are going to interview Ann with her many, many activities that she's had in a very fruitful life. We'll start out by getting a history of your immediate family, of yourself, where you were born, your age, and all that information. Can you tell us those things?
I'm a native of New York City. Our family left New York after I had completed public school.
So. Easily.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to read a script, but if you want to read, go right ahead.
I think it'll be easy for me. So, should I start over?
Go right ahead. That point.
I had completed public school and my high school education in New York City. I still retain happy thoughts about my frequent visits to Central Park and particularly to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Our frequent visits to the museum gave me a lifelong love of art, where I could admire the world's most beautiful treasures. From my beloved mother, Hannah Heinrich Brown, we inherited a love of music and a love of flowers.
How do you spell Heimlich?
H-E-I-M-L-I-C-H. Heinrich
Brown.
Mm-hmm. When did your mother pass away?
Many, many years ago. When my son Jim, who is now about 50, when he was 1 year old, she passed away at West Penn Hospital.
Oh, they lived here in Pittsburgh then?
No, but she was living with me when she became ill.
She came to stay
with me during her illness, and then we took her to the West Penn Hospital because we lived on Wineville Street at the time.
Do you want to tell us, do you want to go into a little more detail about your mother? I mean, since we're talking about family of origin.
Yes. We still have many, let's see, from my beloved mother, Hannah Heinrich Brown, we inherited a love of music and a love of flowers. These, by the way, were brought in this morning from my garden. We still have many of those precious records, which we enjoyed daily on our Victrola. No TV had we those early days of my life. Our profound love of opera stems from our admiration of my mother's brother, Wilhelm Heinrich, who studied voice in Germany and became an opera star. We were thrilled when we received a letter telling us that he had been invited to sing at the Metropolitan Opera in Tosca as Cavaradossi, the tenor. To hear my uncle's performance as the leading tenor was a thrill of a lifetime for me and our family. My mother had a beautiful voice, and my father often said, "Dear mother sings like a bird." My mother was truly a woman of valor. She instilled in us a love of music and a great respect for our religious heritage. Sabbath Eve and holidays were impressive days in our home. The house would be aglow from the lighted candles, which Mother blessed fervently.
In other words, you came from a religious background then. Your mother instilled religion in the home.
Oh, yes, mother and father.
Yeah. Were they Reform or were they...
They were Orthodox.
Orthodox.
They were Orthodox. I don't know. With the B'nai Israel, they belonged to B'nai Israel, and so did we. My beloved husband's father was one of the charter members of the B'nai Israel.
That's what's up.
So we were married by Rabbi Lichter.
Mm. Really?
So. Mm-hmm.
So you're in your Pittsburgh background, you were members, your family then were members of B'nai Israel.
In the early years. But then, as I said, we moved here because I heard that the Sunday school was so excellent, with excellent teachers at Rosh Hashan. And my husband moved his store here. His pharmacy was on Murray Avenue. So we joined. I couldn't see belonging to one organization and sending my children to another.
Hardly.
For their education.
Hardly.
So we sent our children, when they were of age, to the Rosh Hashan Sunday School, and we became members in 1939.
How nice. Can we get back to your mother?
Yeah, back to mother. My mother was truly, well, I did say that. The house would be aglow from the lighted candles, which mother blessed fervently. Then I went on to my father.
Go right ahead.
My
Give
father,
us his full name.
My father, Samuel Shalom, his middle name Shalom Brown, was a gentle, soft-spoken man who imbued us with a love of books. He taught us that we are people of the book. My father, and by the way, when I was a little girl in New York City, they started the movies, and my brother and I, my brother, who is now Dr. Harry Brown, and I could go to a movie on Saturday afternoon, 2 for 5 cents. Mm.
No longer available.
That's
no
ancient
longer. History.
That's ancient.
But I want to tell you, my father would say to us, he never in his life went to a movie. He didn't approve of them. He said, it's much better to read a book. A book is better than any movie. My father's leisure hours were spent reading from his fine collection of books. We were greatly encouraged with zest for knowledge by my father.
How old was your father when he died?
75.
Mm. And your mother?
63.
Okay.
Anne, do you mind giving your birthday?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube.
Okay.
All
right. So we won't ask it.
We won't
don't ask. Don't ask.
We won't.
All right. Because we usually, you know, if
I want
some
to feel young
don't
in
care.
Spirit.
And
I,
you,
I don't
you are.
You are, extremely. So that will be left blank.
Okay.
So your father was Samuel Shalom Brown, died at age 75. I take it he was a gentleman who loved reading and education and instilled the love of books in his children.
Right. As you see, we inherited that love of books.
Obviously.
We had this built into the house when we bought it.
We're surrounded by very good books. I'm reading a few of the titles. What did your father do to earn a living?
My father was a furrier, but he developed an allergy, and he quit. And then on further in the history with my brother came to visit a friend in Brownsville, Pennsylvania, and there was a men's clothing store available, and they prevailed upon him to purchase the store, and he did. But we were such a close-tied family that my brother saw a nice little home in Brownsville, and he said it would be lovely to come from New York City. We lived in one of those brown stoop houses in New York City, mm-hmm. in Yorkville. So we were in close proximity to Central Park and to the Metropolitan Museum. That's how we could walk there.
Oh, I bet you had such good times.
Wonderful times. We had a wonderful family situation. When I tell you about them, I'm glad it's included because someone said don't include your family.
Oh, gosh, that would be heresy. So your father was a furrier in New York City and gave it up to move to Brownsville, or did he take his fur business with him?
No, he retired.
From the
My
business.
Father retired, and my brother had seen this house on Front Street in Brownsville, and he wanted the folks to come, wanted us to come to see it. We came and we saw it, and we were so enchanted. It had a porch in the rear and a swing on it and a garden. And Mother, when she saw the garden,
fell in love.
fell in love with the house and the place, and we moved to Brownsville.
Brownsville,
Pennsylvania.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And was your father a young man at that time? I mean, how old would you say he was when he gave up his fur business? He died at age 75.
At 75, he may have been certainly 65 at least.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
Because when my mother passed away, she was 63, and my dad came to live with us. Mm-hmm. He lived with us, and we have pictures of him on the porch, always with a book in his hand. I never saw my father without a book in his hand.
Real self-educated person.
Well, he went to school, gymnasium or whatever.
No, but the point is that his continuing education was generated by himself.
You're right, dear. You're right. Mm-hmm. Like my beloved husband, the same way. My sister was, well, I don't want to, I'm going out of the context.
Yes, let's stay with it. Very good. You're a wonderful respondent. Stay with it. So we've now talked about your mother and your father.
Right.
Your mother was a gentle person. Your father was gentle. He loved to read. She loved music. You came from a background of real...
A background.
A real arty background. And
a household in which books and music were the prominent factors in the house.
Mm-hmm. Books, music, and art. You loved the arts.
And art, yes. In fact, we had a picture of my uncle in his costume as Cavaradossi, the painter. And I'm sorry.
In Tosca, the...
Beg pardon?
Was that Tosca that he sang
in? Tosca, yes. He sang in Tosca.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother's first wife passed away, and he married another lady, a very nice lady, from the... Crosser family, a very nice family, but that picture evidently didn't mean much to her. Of course, she died too, so I guess in the, getting rid of the material and so
the
forth.
The picture lost.
The picture was lost. It was a large picture, an oval picture with him.
Must have been fantastic.
It was. He was standing at the picture painting. You know, the painter,
mm-hmm.
And I. Oh,
I bet you feel sad about that.
I'm very sad about it.
I would have
loved
to have it. It's a marvelous thing to have.
That would have been a treasure because...
Is your brother still living?
My brother?
Yeah.
No, this was her uncle.
Oh, your uncle, excuse me.
Who was the singer?
The singer was my aunt, my mother's brother.
Mm-hmm. That's what I...
And I only have one brother living. I had four brothers, only one brother, Dr. Brown, and we'll come to
You'll
that.
You'll come to that, yeah.
I'll tell you a little about the brothers.
Yes, let's talk about the sibling of these two wonderful parents of yours.
Yes. Well, they're something, they really followed in the footsteps of the wonderful parents. My oldest sister, she was sort of mother's helper. She loved to sew and would make pretty little things for us.
You were one of how many children?
Of seven.
Seven children.
Mm-hmm. Large family. Beautiful family.
How many girls and how many boys?
Three girls and four boys. No, I don't have to look in the notes. I can just show you.
Just tell us about... Start with your sister.
I started with my oldest sister I told you about.
Her name?
Now, the second sister, her name was Rella. R-E-L-L-A. The second sister was Matilda. She married Joseph Price. She was Mrs. Joseph Price. And this sister was a great inspiration to me, as were all of my family, I guess.
You looked very much like her. I knew Felice's mother. Yeah.
Felice's
well,
mother.
I knew Felice from my sorority, but I remember meeting her mother.
My sister was an English teacher and a Shakespearean scholar. Her group used to come to the house frequently to rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
Their mentor was Dr. Tenenbaum, a Shakespearean scholar in New York City. And when they rehearsed, I would listen in. And I learned the verses from Shakespeare, and to this day, I treasure my knowledge of the bard's works.
How wonderful.
I learned some
what a
early, early
you
childhood.
You never forget what you learned as a child.
No, I learned as a child, and my friend who calls me every day, Libby Rosenberg, the artist's wife, I always have a little poem for her. What's the poem today? I recite a little poem for her each day. And my sister used to take me, as she would go to hear the lectures of those who spoke on Shakespeare, and as a little child she would take me to the lectures with her. So I was imbued with a love of Shakespeare.
Can you do something for us now? Do you have something at your fingertips that you can recite for us off the top of your head? That'd be lovely to have in the recording.
Well, I can recite. That takes me on to my brother. I can recite in German. Let me wait because I don't want to do too much reciting. Because the next thing is my brother, Louis. Mm-hmm. Oh, my brother Simon comes first. He's the older, but I'll recite to you a little German poem. Because I study languages, Latin, French, and German. And my brother taught me the poetry when I was a child. And I still can recite the poetry because I loved it so much. And I still love and adore it.
Marvelous.
We'll come to that.
So we've talked about Rella and Matilda now.
Yeah. And now we talk about Simon. Simon is the brother who went to Bronzeville to visit these relatives. And they prevailed upon him to purchase this men's clothing furnishings, men's clothing store. He purchased it and then brought us to see the house that was for sale on Front Street, a lovely little house. And of course, my mother had always fell in love with the garden. We used to sit on the porch and we used to watch the hummingbirds come by, the beautiful little hummingbirds on the flowers, and that was a thrill to people coming from New York City.
I can imagine.
To have a
you
garden.
Saw things that you didn't know you had.
No. You haven't.
No, we're okay.
Go ahead.
Brownsville, a large town, small population?
Small town. Mm. A small town.
So coming from New York, that was a welcome change.
It was. It
change of pace.
Well, I'll tell you, of course, as far as I was concerned, I wasn't there. When we had moved to Brownsville, I enrolled at California Teachers College.
Oh,
I was a language major in Latin, French, and German.
I see. So you got pieces of Brownsville. You ingested pieces of it on weekends and
yes,
holidays.
Yes,
and
yes. And I lived at the dormitory for a while.
Oh, nice. Well, then, go on. Simon then was the cause of the family moving to Brownsville. He purchased a clothing store,
yes.
Caused the family to find a house, buy it, and settle there peacefully in the country.
Right.
Bird watching and reading books on
right.
the porch.
Right.
Good.
Well, now, I told you about...
Did Simon marry?
Oh, yes. He married a cousin, a Greenwald girl, Helen Greenwald. Her father was in the fur business. In fact, all my furs were gotten from there.
Was she a Brownsville girl?
No, oh. She was from New York City.
I see.
New York City.
Go ahead.
Let's see. Now, at school.
No, we're talking about your family. Simon Brown.
Oh, Simon
Real
Brown.
Matilda Simon.
Simon was a very gentle. He was like his dad. He was a very soft-spoken, gentle person, dearly loved by all who knew him.
Mm. I take it he sort of assumed the spokesmanship for the family to the extent that he sort of got you moving. Got you.
Well, he was
sort of a force
he
in
was
the family.
The oldest son, and he prevailed upon the family.
He had the aggression, I guess, that your father didn't have. So.
Well, he went ahead and purchased this business,
mm-hmm.
And when he wanted us to come to see the house, after he. Purchase. He was not aggressive at all. On the other hand, he was a very gentle, just like Dad.
No,
he was
a mover in his career.
Oh, yes.
That's
yes.
I mean.
He
I don't mean aggressive negatively.
I
understand me.
I understand.
Uh-huh. No, I meant in his career he was aggressive to further himself.
You have two other brothers you want to tell us, or three other brothers you want to tell us about.
Yes, I have to tell you about
them. You're right here.
Well, the next brother, Lewis Brown. He was a high school teacher in New York City. He was knowledgeable in Greek, Latin, French, German. And it was he who taught me this poetry, which, if you want to meet or cite something in German.
Go right ahead.
Sure.
We'd love to hear it.
Very well. From Faust. And as I said, we love the opera. You can understand that. Well, in Faust, he appears on the opening scene. I guess you've seen Faust. And he says, Haben nun Philosophie, Juristerei und Medizin. Do you know German? Durchaus studiert mit heißen Bemühen. Das stehe ich nach, ich arme Tor. Und sehe, dass sie nicht wissen können. Students
didn't understand it.
Das will mir schier das Herz verbrennen. Heiße Magister, heiße Doktor Gar, und sehe diese Schule an der Nase herum, und sehe, dass sie nicht wissen können, das will mir schier das Herz verbrennen.
Without schooling, if you don't understand, it burns your heart.
This is the opening scene of Faust, and these are his words, and then he allows himself to be.
And you've retained this all these years?
Because I love it. I recite these things, you know, goes through my mind as poetry, and as I tell you, I give Libby a poem, you know,
every day.
Her beloved husband, the artist, passed away 10 years ago. She comforts me, I comfort her. In fact, last night she called me, she said, there's a program in 13 Ann, Theos, about widows and things like that. So some of this stuff that I might have done, I was busy listening to it. Well, I better...
It's okay. I'm just checking.
That's
my
Lewis.
Job.
Now you're coming.
Well, anyway, my brother... No. Lewis, I have to tell you about him.
Oh, I thought you had finished.
Lewis was in World War II. He acted as an interpreter. He was in France. And he acted as... He was assigned as interpreter to General Pershing because he spoke French so fluently.
Oh, you mean World War One?
I mean World War One.
Right.
World War One. See, without notes, I may
all right.
Falter
no,
there
that's
or there. World War One, definitely. He he was interpreter for General Pershing. So that's enough of Lewis, I think, because there are too many others to talk about. My brother Max was the next one. Max was a humorist. He always was full of jokes and happiness and fun. There was a flood here in Pittsburgh, and he came and he entertained the two children and me at the time of the flood.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The family clown.
Exactly.
Every family needs one.
Right there. You're right there. You're right, Shirley. And he worked, his interest was the stock market.
How'd he do?
Fairly
I'm
well.
Interested on my own. I ask you how he did.
I wish I knew some of the things that he knew. That's enough.
Is that how he earned his living? By his interest in the stock market?
Stock market, yeah. He worked.
He was a money man.
Bernie Baruch. He knew Bernie Baruch.
What illustrious children came out of this family. One who interpreted for General Pershing, another who was friendly with Bernard Baruch. My goodness.
That's how it was. That's my brother. Now the only brother I have left. And it's just too bad that Dr. Harry Brown, when we were married, he came and stayed at our house and went to school here and got his degree at the University of Pittsburgh.
He stayed with you and got his degree?
He lived at our house And we used to go to the concerts and the symphony and the ball games, too. We were interested, my husband and I were interested.
Did he practice in Pittsburgh?
No, he practiced in Brownsville.
Oh, in Brownsville.
But Emma, his wife, my sister-in-law, sister-in-law's mother, lived in Arizona, and two sisters, a mother and two sisters. So Emma had a heart attack in 68, and Harry thought it would be good for him to go to Arizona and be in that country. The climate would be good for Emma. So in 73, they moved to Arizona. And in 74, we visited them.
What city in Arizona?
Sun City, Arizona. A beauty.
That's outside of Phoenix, yes.
Outside of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. We went there, and we had the most beautiful time. They took us to the Grand Canyon, to Sedona. And here, the beauties of nature were just fantastic. We were just thrilled with the beauty of Niagara Falls. No, Niagara Falls, that comes in another chapter. I'm taking you
the
Grand Canyon. And at Sedona, there were the Red Rock Mountains. If you've been there, you mm-hmm. look like you've been there.
Yes, yes.
And there are these wonderful figures. And the flowers, the wild flowers all around are so beautiful. Nature's art in abundance in Arizona.
You must have been there in the spring.
Just
out.
April.
April and June.
Yes, we were there in April. Then, being interested in art, we went to Frank Lloyd Wright's School of Architecture. In fact,
isn't it fantastic?
I wish you'd see this. This has been designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, this furniture.
It's gorgeous. I recognize the right look on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
contemporary.
Yes, it has that
Frank,
wonderfully flowing feeling.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Obviously, you are very involved in all kinds of art. Your parameters are very wide in your love of art. You enjoy the old as well as the new.
Oh, definitely. Well, see, we enjoy the new. This, the rockets that Sam did, he exhibited this in Greensburg.
It's a lovely abstract piece.
Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you girls, this is very interesting. When Abe was working, I was at Libby and Sam's house. Libby would be sewing, I would be reading, Sam would be painting. He was doing a painting and I would watch him. And he was doing this rockets. You know, when rockets came into
our lifetime.
Into our lifetimes, right. And I said, Sam, Abe's birthday is coming. I would like to have that picture for his birthday gift. He says, so be it. I'll mark it sold when I put it in the...
in the show.
In the show, in Greensburg. So dozens of people, you know, this was the new thing, and it's beautiful when you...
Yeah, it is lovely. The colors are beautiful. The colors are
beautiful. Have to put the
when he started out, he was not an abstractist.
He was tight.
Mm-hmm.
He was a classic artist.
Right.
Then he went. Well, you can see Sam's work. This is all Sam's work here.
Magnificent. Mm-hmm. It's magnificent. And you can see the change.
The change.
How it evolved into that.
Yes. Well, when I saw that, I was just
thrilled
with it. And as I say, he put the sold sign on it.
How nice. What a good woman you were to your husband. You bought him presents before they were even finished.
Right.
You must have had a wonderful life together.
We did. It was, I'll tell you, really, really, girls, it was a thing of beauty. He was gentle, like my father, and a lover of books. My sister, before she passed away, gave him these 6 or 7 books of Gratz's History of the Jews. He was a very learned man, and he read all through them, but he had a very retentive mind. Mm-hmm. He could tell you what was in the books. And I was thrilled to hear it. Now, he subscribed to about a dozen magazines to Discover, Smithsonian, Newsweek, mm-hmm. all the important magazines. And he read them. And he had our grandchildren adored you know, hearing him tell about his, like this granddaughter, Ronnie Sue, is a nurse. She graduated from the University of Vermont as a nurse, and they used to talk to each other about the recent discoveries, you know, for cancer, this or that. And she worked in the neonatal clinic with newborn babies, and there would be
lots of exchange. You know, it's a joy to hear you talk about it. You speak in terms of such genuine lovingness.
It really is beautiful, these grandchildren, each one of them.
Well, obviously it comes out a gorgeous thing. You talk in terms of the physician, Harry, being your only living brother. Is he your only living relative? Are your sisters since deceased?
Only living relative, my brother.
Others are deceased.
I know Mrs. Price's sister.
Yes, Mrs. Price. So is my niece Felice. Mm-hmm.